Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John. John 20, verses 30 through to 31. John 20, verses 30 through to 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Morning, everyone. My name's Tristan. Now, if you have your Bible open there, we're going to look at a few different parts of John's Gospel, but that part that John read for us, chapter 20, that's going to be the place to keep your Bible open. This is the second of our winter onesies. One whole book of the Bible in one Bible talk. I'm going to pray and then we'll get into John's Gospel. Let's pray. Father God, please help us this morning. Please help us to consider Jesus' offer of eternal life carefully and thoughtfully. Amen. John, who wrote John's Gospel, this biography of Jesus that we're looking at this morning, I know his favourite number. And in fact, I also know your favourite number. What I want you to do is I want you to think of your favourite number right now. Got it in your head? All right. Excellent. Now, put your hand up if the number you're thinking of is 110. Nobody. Do you know number 110 is the least loved of all the numbers? I feel sad for number 110. But put your hand up if the number that you're thinking of is 7. Ah, a few of you. Yeah. According to some research by Time magazine and a few others, number 7 is the most likely to be your favourite number. Number 7 is the world's favourite number, apparently, most loved. Which means there's a good chance you're going to like John's Gospel, because as far as I can tell, 7 is also John's favourite number. I say that because the way John's Gospel progresses, it's all driven along by some signs. It's all driven along by 7 signs. And you may have noticed in the part of the Bible that we just read that John mentions those signs. That couple of sentences from the end of chapter 20. In those sentences, John is setting the scene for his whole book by talking about these signs. Now, he was clearly listening to his high school Greek teacher when they told him the value of a nice, clear statement of purpose. So let me read it again for you, because this is John setting the agenda for what he wants to achieve by writing this book. So, that same couple of verses from the end of John chapter 20, he says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which aren't written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." In other words, John has written down for us a bunch of signs that Jesus did, and he's written them down so that we will know who Jesus is. And he's written all this so that by knowing who Jesus is, we'll have eternal life from Jesus. John's written this so we, the readers, we will know who Jesus is and have life. And so here's what John does. In chapter 1, at the very beginning, he tells us what he believes about Jesus and how he gets from what he believes about Jesus to what he wants us to believe about Jesus is through telling us the story of 7 signs that Jesus did. These signs are to convince us to believe what he believes. So before we get to the 7 signs, let's quickly notice chapter 1 and what John believes about Jesus. So we haven't got time to read chapter 1 in detail, but let me summarise it for you and encourage you to read it maybe sometime this week. John chapter 1 starts very poetic. John calls Jesus the Word of God, God's light in the world, the light of life. John says Jesus is God's grace and truth. Jesus makes God known. Importantly, John says Jesus is from God. And then he goes on in chapter 1, and there's a bunch of conversations. And in the conversations in chapter 1, they're all about Jesus' identity, who Jesus is. And here's the first taste of John's love of the number 7, because in chapter 1, Jesus gets called by 7 different titles. Titles like Christ, a Lamb of God, Son of God. But what chapter 1 all adds up to is John is telling us that Jesus is sent by God, and Jesus is sent from God, and Jesus is sent to die to save the world and to bring eternal life. That's what John believes about Jesus, and he tells us straight up front in chapter 1. To convince us of the same things, John now tells us about 7 signs. Now, John was one of Jesus' disciples, one of Jesus' close friends. We have to assume these are 7 of the signs that John himself saw that convinced him that Jesus was sent by God to bring eternal life. Here's a list of the first 6 signs. The first one you see up there is Jesus turning water into wine. It's in chapter 2, that's where the signs start. Again, we haven't got time to look at them all closely, but let me summarize. Jesus is at a wedding party, and at this wedding they run out of wine. Jesus takes about 200 litres of water and he turns it into 200 litres of wine, which is a lot of wine. And it's miraculous. It's something only God could do. But at the party, nobody really notices it. They do notice, when it comes out, that it's better wine than anything they've been served so far. Which is exactly the point of this first sign. The point of this sign is that the best has arrived. Do you remember last week our Genesis onesie? And do you remember right at the end of Genesis, God said, one day a rescuer is going to come. And this rescuer will bring all of God's generous goodness back to the world. And as a picture of the richness of God's goodness, Genesis said the rescuer will have so much excess wine that they can do their washing in it. Remember that picture from Genesis? Well, here's Jesus, and the first thing he's done in John's gospel is bring 200 litres of wine to a party. This sign is telling us Jesus is that rescuer. Jesus is God's promised rescuer. The wine, it's symbolic of all the riches of God that Jesus brings. When it comes to knowing God, and when it comes to God's goodness, Jesus is where it's at. That's the good stuff. Not everybody at this party gets it. It's subtle, this first sign. They're just confused about why the good wine came out when everyone's already tipsy. John finishes that story of the first sign, and this is in chapter 2, verse 11. He finishes by saying, this, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and it showed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And that is the pattern that all the signs follow. All the signs are kind of like this sign in the sense that first Jesus does the sign. It's always something very big and impressive and surprising. It always shows us something unique about Jesus. But then every sign causes some confusion. Or even some controversy. And then at the end, people are forced to make a choice about what they believe about Jesus, whether they believe that he is sent from God or not. That's the pattern. The sign from Jesus, the confusion or the controversy, people forced to make a choice about what they think of Jesus. The second sign is in chapter 4. Again, it follows the pattern. There's a man and his son is unwell. In fact, his son is about to die. This man travels a bit of a way to ask Jesus if Jesus can help. Jesus says to him that his son will be okay. And so the man heads home. On the way home, his servants meet him and they say, don't worry about Jesus. Turns out your son's recovering. There's the confusion. But the man knows that it's actually Jesus who has powerfully healed his son. And so he makes a choice to believe. And so at the end of chapter 4, John says this was now the second sign that Jesus did. We won't go through all the rest because we haven't got time. But as we do, as you read through, the pattern continues. The confusion and controversy escalate, the reactions escalate, but the pattern stays the same. The third sign shows Jesus has authority that is equal with God. That is very controversial. That makes some of the Jewish leaders very angry. The fourth sign shows Jesus can make food from nothing, and Jesus claims to be able to give a kind of spiritual food that brings eternal life. The fifth sign reinforces Jesus was sent by God to deal with sin. All the way through, some people are believing, some people are following Jesus just for the entertainment, and others, particularly the Jewish leaders, are getting more and more angry. Sign number six escalates it all. Sign number six, Jesus' friend Lazarus dies. And by now, we're up to chapter 11. Jesus goes and walks into the tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days. And he yells to him to come out. And he does. It's extraordinary. He's alive. It shows Jesus has power over death. And as he does this sign, Jesus says, he says that he's doing it so that everyone who is there will believe that he is sent by God. Let me read to you from chapter 11, verse 41. It says, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus reinforcing that he is indeed sent by God. He has power over death. Again, many people believe, but the Jewish leaders, they're forced to debate long and hard about who Jesus is. One of them, Caiaphas, he thinks Jesus is who he says he is. But the others, in the end, they want none of it, and they decide they're going to kill Jesus. Sign, confusion and controversy, and people forced to make a choice about what they think of Jesus. These signs are a bit like I went to the National Gallery in Canberra last year. One of the things that got my attention was this series of artworks by Dale Frank. There was about 7 of them in total. And I don't know what you think, but I wasn't very impressed at first. Until I read the signs that were next to each one. There was a little sign, as you would expect, and each one was a kind of a portrait. And each one was made to invoke the feeling of an actor. And so as I went along and I read the signs, I got to thinking, yeah, I don't know, maybe that is Tobey Maguire up there on the left. And maybe that is Tom Hardy. Now, I don't know what you think. Maybe I was just getting caught up in the moment. I was in the National Gallery. Maybe I thought for a moment that I understood art. But the signs, at least, what they did was they forced me to make a choice. They forced me to think and decide for myself what I thought. That's what's happening in John. Jesus is being much clearer, and Jesus is getting clearer and clearer as each sign goes by. With each sign, Jesus is asking people to make a choice about what they think of him. It's not just the signs in John's gospel. Woven in between the signs, Jesus also makes some big claims about himself. We often call them the I am statements, where Jesus says, I am, and makes a big claim about who he is. No prizes for guessing how many times that happens. 7. It's all part of the same thing. Jesus is claiming to be sent by God. He is challenging people to think seriously about that claim. As we read John's book, this is what John keeps pushing on us. It keeps going back to those first verses up top there. What do you think about Jesus? Do you believe he's the rescuer, the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, ultimate power over life and death? What do you think? Do you believe he's sent by God to die to save the world? Do you believe he can bring eternal life? You may have guessed where all of this is heading. It's all heading to sign number seven. The seventh one is the big one. The only way to top Lazarus being raised from the dead is for Jesus to rise from the dead himself. And Jesus' resurrection is the seventh sign. As you read through the back half of John, the Jewish leaders follow through and they arrest Jesus. They put him on trial for claiming to be sent by God. He's found guilty. He's crucified on a cross. On the third day after he's killed, some women go to Jesus' tomb. They find it open and empty, and they discover Jesus alive. It's the sign to end all signs. It's the most compelling evidence yet. Jesus is sent by God, sent to die, and sent to bring life after death, eternal life. And the confusion, because remember, each of the signs follows a pattern, the confusion comes from one of Jesus' disciples, Thomas. Now, Thomas wasn't there when the other disciples first met the risen Jesus. Thomas has heard from them that Jesus is risen, but he doesn't believe them. And, smart guy, you don't believe that someone is risen from the dead without thinking about it, without some pretty good evidence. So have a look with me at what happens next. And this is in chapter 20. So if you've still got your Bible open at chapter 20, this is just a few paragraphs before what was read out earlier. Chapter 20, verse 26. It says, 8 days later, Jesus' disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Don't disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who haven't seen and yet have believed." The people who haven't seen, that's us. That's why John's written this, because we weren't there. And that's why the very next verse is the verse that we started with. John says, "These are written that you may believe." John's talking to us there. Each sign along the way, people have been forced to make a decision about Jesus. Now John says it's our turn. As readers of his book, now it's our turn to decide what we think of Jesus. That's why he wrote this. So what do you think? Is Jesus sent by God to die to save the world? What do you think? The stakes are high here. Jesus is offering eternal life. Now, all through John's book, there's crowds following Jesus around. Everyone's telling their friends. They're all checking out Jesus. But eventually, they all have to decide one way or the other. Is Jesus who he says he is, sent from God or not? Some believe. Lots of them end up calling for Jesus' death. So where are you? You're here maybe because someone invited you and you just came to be polite. Are you here because your friends are here? Are you here because it feels nice on a Sunday morning and Jesus seems nice and seems like Jesus wants us all to be nice to each other? But, you know, the whole God in the flesh died for our sins stuff, that's a bit of a stretch. Maybe you're here and you've already decided. You've decided and you think it's all made up. The only difference between Jesus and unicorns is we don't give kids stuffed Jesus toys. Whatever you think about Jesus and whatever reason you're here, I'm really glad you are. I'm glad you're here because I would love you to check out Jesus' claims carefully. Now, it's okay to treat Jesus' resurrection with some caution, like Thomas. But do investigate carefully. It's okay to scrutinize Jesus' offer of eternal life, but I wouldn't want you to miss what John's putting in our faces. We do need to figure out what we think of Jesus. So as to do that, can I suggest one really simple thing? there's any reason, even the smallest reason, and you think it's worth investigating Jesus a little more, grab someone here who you know. Chat to me if you don't know anyone. And read John's Gospel together with them. Just a little bit at a time, over a few weeks. Read John's Gospel, read through those signs, so that you can make up your minds about what you think of Jesus. And if you come to the conclusion it's true, Jesus is sent by God to bring eternal life, then believe. Even if you believe already, why not read John's Gospel with a friend over the next week or so? Small groups are on break at the moment, school holidays, you've got a little bit of extra time. Have a read through John's Gospel so as to be reminded of how wonderful it is to have life through Jesus. John's Gospel, 7 signs and 1 big sign, the resurrection. John says, Jesus is risen. John says, I've written this so that you may believe that Jesus is sent from God, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you for John's careful writing down of what he saw, the things that he saw and lived through, so that we can see what Jesus did and so that we can hear Jesus' claims, hear his offer of eternal life, and so that we can make up our minds. Please, Father, help us to consider what we think of Jesus. Thanks for sending him into the world that we may have life in his name. Amen.